The first occurrence of the word courage in the King James Version of the Bible is in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20. What we find here is Moses addressing the 12 spies just before they were sent out to spy the land of Canaan, a promise made by God to Abraham many years past, is now coming to fruition. But what a daunting task to go into a place where you've never been, an area that you've never seen, perhaps terrain unlike that which you have become accustomed to, not knowing whether or not the people are going to be hostile, violent, or whatever the case may be. But they were to spy out the land of promise. It's a new land, a strange land with strange people. And they were to see that which God has promised to Abraham. Can you imagine the thoughts that is going through their mind as they have been given the dubious honor of being the ones to go in first? I want you to go into the land. I want you to check things out. And while you're there, I want you to pick some of the fruits and take some of this and take some of that. Bring it back so we can all sample it. Anything could happen. Lives could be lost. And there was much at stake. But we see there in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20, he's telling them in what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And then he says, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, was the time of the first ripe grapes. It was a time of harvest when the pickings of the land should be plenteous. But notice what he told them, and be of good courage. Now, we know what happened in that particular story, how that 10 of the spies came back with a different report than did Joshua or Caleb. Now, 12 spies went. This represented all the tribes. And 10 of them went, perhaps a little fearful, but they went. And they were amazed by what they saw. And they came back and they gave a report. We can't do this. It's too much. It's because that they were overcome by fear. In fact, one of them even said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like a bug. They're going to step on us. They didn't have much courage, did they? The next time we see courage is in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, when Moses, having been told that you've done a great job there, Moses, but you're not going into the promised land because you were disobedient. Because you took credit for something that I provided, is what God said to him. He would not go over into Jordan, into the promised land, and then he tells Israel that God has made a choice. God has chosen someone else to continue on after Moses' death, to lead them into this promised land, this land that had been spied out, this land that they were to go in and inhabit. And that they should not fear, because God was to be with them. He said, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, time this morning will not permit us to go through the Bible and enumerate and elaborate upon all who have exhibited courage in the face of adversity. That list is long. There are many people throughout the Bible who have stood in the face of adversity knowing that God was with them and said, no, I will be brave. I will serve God. I will do His will. I have courage. But I would be remiss in preaching on courage without mentioning at least a few of God's champions. Names that you're familiar with. Folks like Abraham. Imagine Abraham's situation. God says, get up, take your family, such as it is, you and your wife, and your stuff, and go. And by the way, I'll show you where it is while you're on the way. And so he does that. What about Joseph? Joseph finds himself through no fault of his own, because of the envy of his brother, cast into a pit and sold into slavery. He finds himself in Egypt. Why, even some of the Egyptians treat him wrongly, and finds himself in prison. He doesn't despair. He asked someone to remember me. He was able to tell some dreams. The end of it was that he became second in command to Pharaoh. He was the one that was going to be able to provide through the providence of God for Israel. David, a mighty warrior in many battles, a man who loved God, was very courageous. And what about Daniel? Cast into a lion's den. And of course, the Apostle Paul. Now, of this list, only Paul was a Christian. All of these other folks served God, loved God, did what God wanted them to do, and they had courage while they were doing it. But they were not Christians. They lived under the Old Testament law, some of them. Some of them lived before the Mosaic system. But because we all now live in the Christian dispensation and all will be judged by the New Testament law, let's deal with courage this morning as it applies to us and how it takes courage to be a Christian. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 gives us a list of those who will not spend eternity with God. Some of us are familiar with that list. It's one that's been read many, many different times. And all too often, we are guilty of categorizing sin. We have a bucket of big sins, and we have a bucket of little sins. And we don't realize that sin is sin when it comes to God. But I want you, when you turn to this particular passage, to see of those of every dispensation, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian dispensation, who will not spend eternity with God. And I want you to guess what heads up that list. But the fearful. We don't think of that as a sin, do we? But guess what? They won't be with God. We know that. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They will be ever separated from God, tortured for eternity. There are several vehicles running around this community that have on the back glass the words, "I ain't scared." Don't know exactly what that means, but it's not the kind of courage that we're talking about. Not the fearful that he's talking about in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. The fearful, those who are afraid, those who do not have courage, those who do not find the courage to be a child of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, we see words from the pen of the Apostle Paul is given to him by the Spirit. And he tells these brethren, those who are already children of God, those who have had at least enough courage to be obedient. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." You know, God wants courageous people. He needs courageous people, and it takes courage to be a Christian. That's pretty evident when we look around the congregations in the area, and we see in every one of them empty pews. Not enough people have courage that it takes to be a Christian. First, I submit to you that one must have the courage to confess their faith in Christ. We're going to look at several different passages. We're going to see how different people reacted relative to Christ. Let's go before the new law. Let's go back in the life of Jesus Christ in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. We'll see that there were those who believed him. Now, when you stop and you contemplate Jesus Christ and his life and all of the things within his life and the miracles, the many wonderful miracles that he did, there's no way that you could look at him and say that he's not special. In fact, Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." But in this particular passage in John chapter 12, verses 42 beginning, we see that nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And verse 43 tells us what their problem was. They didn't have enough courage to profess Christ, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I want the pat on the back and the accolades and the trophies and the awards and the ribbons. It won't do you any good except in this life. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And there are folks today who do not have the courage that it takes to confess their faith in Christ and walk as Christ would have you walk, because they like the praise of men more than the praise of God. In Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, we see Jesus Christ speaking regarding this particular thing called confession. Says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." And verse 9 tells us the flip side of the coin. "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Those will be the very ones that the judge, which is that one and the same, Jesus Christ, will say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." They didn't have enough faith or courage to confess Christ before men. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, a passage is often used in invitations. In fact, it will be used in our invitation today regarding confessing Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ. We see that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman brethren there and said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's one of the steps which draws us ever closer to God, but we must have enough courage to confess our faith in Christ. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. We know that the first part of the book of Revelation tells us what the book of Revelation is. It's not the foretelling of some future event or events. It's not the foretelling of something that cannot be understood. This letter to the seven churches is broken down so that we can see what is written to each church. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, he writes to the church at Philadelphia. He says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." This is praise. This is praise from God. We want to sit back and say, I don't have a lot of courage. I don't have a lot of faith. I don't have a lot of ability. I don't have a lot of this. I don't have a lot of that. Look what God said, how he praised those in the church of Philadelphia. "For thou hast a little strength." You know, God can work with just a little strength or just a little courage. It doesn't take much. You don't have to be on the front line every day taking the shots. Just a little courage. Be there ready to step up. Be there always faithful to God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. A passage often also used in invitations, because the latter part of it specifically tells us how that we are to be faithful until death. But it was written specifically to the church at Sardis. They were told, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer." And friends, they will suffer. Or they did suffer. at the time that this was written. They were told, fear none of those things. Be courageous. You're going to suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But look at the last part of it. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maintain that courage. Courage to confess our faith in Christ. We must remain faithful to the end, and it takes courage. We must have the courage to speak the truth of Christ. In our Bible class this morning, we're talking about Paul and how that he found himself in prison. He found himself being beaten. He found himself having been stoned. And all of the things that were heaped upon him was because he had the courage to speak the truth of Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8, going back to the time when Israel was involved personally with a relationship with God because they were the chosen of God in order to bring Christ into the world. He was told, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, we can go about anywhere today and preach the gospel. In some places, the government doesn't like it. And in some places, because the government doesn't like it, if we go and we preach the gospel, who knows what will happen. But if we have that opportunity and we take on that job, we should have courage to do it. I am with thee to deliver thee. What have you lost? Let's just say, for whatever strange reason, because you preach the truth, you're faithful to God, you're serving God, you do His will, and they say, off with his head. What have you lost? Your head. It won't hurt anymore. And guess what you've gained? We've got to have courage. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 6, again, we see these words, be not afraid of them. He says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and though thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. God has always watched over his people, and he expects us to have courage to speak the truth of Christ. You know, in this day and age, there are some that seem to be afraid and ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul let them know, as the Spirit guided him to do so, that he was not ashamed, nor was he afraid. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul had courage. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10, we'll see what it is that made some of the people of Israel not courageous. We see there that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which spite of the seers see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us the right things, speaking to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Notice what is going on there. It's very similar to some of the things that are going on today. Some do not want to hear the truth. And they want to take people who do not have the courage to speak the truth. And they want to put them into a position where they might speak. But watch this. Look at the equation here. Not courageous equals not obedient. Not courageous equals not faithful. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. Speaking of those folks in that day, and perhaps some in this day, that want to tell you that things are all right. Things are good. But they don't have the courage to speak the truth of Christ. It says, they have healed also to the hurt of thy daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, there are people standing in pulpits today, very much like the one I'm standing here behind. And they're telling folks that, you know, everything is all right. They're doing it with a smile. They're making you feel good. And they have courage to do that because that's their job. And they're saying everything is all right. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. They're saying Everything's going to be all right. God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son. And because he sent his only begotten son, everybody's going to be saved. Wait a minute. Who is it? The fearful? The unbelieving? The abominable? The murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And why didn't God save them? Doesn't make sense, does it? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul asked a question that needs to be asked, and it needs to be asked regularly. As we have the courage to stand and to speak the truth of Christ, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And the truth hurts. Imagine having grown up in a world, in a society, in a religion, in which you were told you're all good. Back when you were 11 or 12 years old, you gave your heart to Jesus. You're all good. Go enjoy life. Grow up. Become a man. And then one day, somebody becomes your enemy because they say, you haven't obeyed the gospel. When they ask the question, what is my condition if I die this day? And the answer comes to you cold and hard and direct. If you die this day, your soul will spend eternity in hell. The truth hurts, don't it? But the person who made that response was not an enemy. Neither was the Apostle Paul an enemy. He had the courage to tell the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, we see the Apostle Paul writing as guided by the Spirit to young preacher Timothy. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Why? But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, because if we have the courage to stand up for God, we will stand with him. We must have the courage to live the Christian life. The Christian life is not an easy life. Some people think it is. When you've been deluded to thinking that everything's all right, no matter what you believe, just believe. Pretty easy. Go through life believing what you want to, doing what you want to, and everything's good. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we find a passage. Peter writes to them as he also was guided by the Spirit, telling them how people think when we change. Sometimes people come in contact with you and they say, you know, you're different. Yes, I am. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about the Christian life, because I have the courage to speak the truth of Christ. I have the courage to confess our faith in Christ. But we must continue onward and continue to have the courage to live the Christian life. He says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Sometimes they look at you and say, you have changed. That's when you smile and say, yes, I have. And let me tell you about it. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, which we recognize as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to those people that were gathered there to listen to him, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And finally, we have to have the courage to come home to the Father. You know, we have a rather disturbing situation in the church today. People come when you can get them here. Then they begin to listen. And occasionally, the light shines through and they realize and understand that what we're telling them is the truth as contained in God's Word, so that they too might be partakers of the grace of God. And then in a short period of time for some and a longer period of time for others. For whatever reason, they no longer have the courage to continue to confess their faith in Christ, to continue to speak the truth of Christ, to continue to have the courage to live the Christian life. And they fall away. So very sad. In Luke chapter 15, verses 14 through 19, one of the great passages relative to someone returning to the Father is one known as the story of the prodigal son. Don't want to read the whole thing. But we know the story, how that the young boy decided, young man I guess he was, he decided, you know what? I don't want to wait around for my inheritance. I want it now. He was before his time, wasn't he? We live in a time now when we want it, and we want it now. This young man went to his father and said, I want my inheritance, and I want it now, and he took it. And he said, now I've got my inheritance, I'm going to go enjoy life. And he went, and he went to a far country. Verse 14 of Luke 15 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, you got a lot of friends when you got a lot of money. But wait till the money dries up. Where are your friends now? They found new friends with new money. He went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And this citizen of that country sent him to the fields to feed swine. Listen, how destitute this young man had become. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he came to himself. What's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I've got a father. He's got land. He's got food. I'll just go back. He says, how many of my hired, or the hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat and spare? And here I am starving to death. I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That takes courage. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Guess what? He's going to have food. He's going to have a shelter over his head. That's not what the father did. We know what the father did. He welcomed him back because the man repented. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 tells us also how we are to treat our brethren if they have enough courage to come home to the Father. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I had a situation one time in which someone came forward and asked for the prayers of the church and said he was repenting and coming back to the Father. Walking out of the building, someone turned to me and said he didn't really mean it. I said, wow, you're a better man than I am. He said, what do you mean? I said, you can know the thoughts and intents of someone else's heart. I cannot. But time will tell. Time will tell whether or not he meant it. I've actually had the displeasure, the pleasure and displeasure at the same time. Someone obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ. People say, you know, it'll never stick. He really didn't mean that. You don't know what they meant. Fortunately, some of those people are still faithful to this day. But we've got to have courage. It takes courage to be a Christian. It takes courage to confess our faith in Christ. It takes courage to speak the truth in Christ. It takes courage to live the Christian life. And if we have departed from the Father, it takes courage to return. But we can do it. But we can only do it in this life. Perhaps this morning there are those here with us that have not obeyed the gospel. I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes how to do so. Perhaps also there are those among us who have decided for whatever reason or have found themselves for whatever reason back into the world, involved in the world, ensnared by the sins that are all around, and need to return to the Father. We hope and pray that each has courage today and know that God will continue to help us if we will remain faithful to Him and do His will. The Bible teaches for one to become a child of God, they must hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We're taught in John chapter 8 and verse 24 by Jesus Himself that we must believe. He said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus also in Luke 13:3-5 tells us it's absolutely necessary that we repent. He said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And we're told in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that we must confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we must be baptized. Peter, upon being asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" After we have his recorded sermon, said to these people, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." They were not baptized to join the church. They were not baptized to get their name on the church roll. Oh, they didn't join the church. We'll see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being baptized, those who were being obedient, those who heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized. And that's, after that, you need real courage. Because the next step in the gospel plan of salvation is to remain faithful until death. In 2 Peter 2:20 and 21, we see the condition of those who are that way. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome." You see, they came out of the world. They came to in Christ, and then they allow themselves to go back into the world. It says the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." But God is a merciful God. He's provided the means whereby we might have the courage to come back to Him. And He will accept us if we come in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, the erring Christian is to repent and pray. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee." Do you have enough courage to continue to be faithful to God? Do you have enough courage to begin that Christian walk today? We're going to open our songbooks. We're going to sing the selected song. We're going to ask you, if you need to come, you need to respond to the gospel invitation, that you do so as together we stand and sing.